Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, May 9th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are higher this morning. July corn futures up 2.5 at 461. July soybeans up 5.5 at 1233 and a quarter. July Chicago wheat up 11 at 645. July Kansas City wheat up 13 at 661 and a half. July spring wheat up 10 and three quarters at 713 and a half. We've got some rain on the radar this morning.
So the U.S. radar is active this morning. Early morning rain pushed across eastern Iowa and northwest Illinois. A separate but larger system worked its way through Tennessee and Kentucky. This morning's Euro model is drier compared to yesterday for both the near term and extended periods. The 5 to 10 day forecast still offers quite a bit of rain, although the forecasted amounts and coverage have been dialed back considerably.
The forecast is drier, not dry. And depending on which forecast you'd like to look at, the euro looks a little bit wetter maybe than this QPF, which is the government model. You look at this deal, this QPF from the government, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, and the Dakotas almost totally dry during the next 7 days. That green stuff on the map, that's trace amounts or more likely nothing. Where you will see additional rain over the next 7 days, Indiana, Ohio, the Southeast, the Gulf Coast, places like that. The forecast is drier. This is the 5 day expected precipitation on the left and the 10 day on the right. And these are still some decent amounts. I mean, an inch up to 2 inches of rain in some areas, but other areas drier. So the forecast is drier than it was yesterday. I think that, especially if that government, if that QPF is accurate, you're going to see a lot of corn and soybeans planted here over the next 7 days. I understand a lot of areas are wet. I understand a lot of areas need to dry out. But if you get 3 days of drying, 4 days of drying, maybe that'll be enough. And you'll see a lot planted in the central and western corn belt in particular. If you guys have planting updates, let me know. Drop them in the YouTube comments.
Early May frosts have damaged Russian crops. Three areas in Russia's fertile Black Earth region declared a state of emergency on Wednesday as a result of the recent frosts. One of the regions affected by the cold weather reported that nearly 655,000 acres of crops died or were severely damaged. Analysts have already cut their outlook for this season's crops due to dry conditions. However, additional cuts may be necessary. Back in April, Russia's Ag Ministry reduced this year's grain production forecast to 132 million metric tons, down almost 9% from last year.
They've got another cold snap today that should last into tomorrow. Freezing temperatures again in some of these areas. Now, I'm told, most of the winter grains are not far enough along to really be seriously damaged here. I know that the crop production estimates have come down a little bit. I don't think this is a disaster, though. The market does get worked up about Russia because they're the world's top wheat exporter, of course, 24% of all global wheat exports. I was told yesterday that Russian export pricing has really moved a ton this week. It's improved overall or risen overall, but not a big change on this frost stuff this week. So wait and see. I don't know if it's a big deal or not.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together with Brian yesterday?
Brian does charts for us every 2 weeks, and yesterday's video was absolutely fantastic. If you guys are looking for some potential upside targets in the corn market, the soybean market, the wheat market, we also did cattle yesterday and feeder cattle. This was some absolutely fantastic stuff, some really, really great perspective. Brian's a professional technician. He's better at this than anybody I know. If you want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. There's no other fee. There's no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the best way to support what we're doing here. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have corporate backing. Everything we do is brought to you by the premium subs. So if you're a premium sub, we love you to death. If you're not, give this deal a shot. I think you'll like it.
USDA will release its monthly crop production and WASDE report on Friday morning. Friday's report will include our first look at the new crop balance sheets for corn, soybeans, and wheat. The report is likely to offer a bearish tone for row crops in particular due to USDA's tendency to begin with trendline national yield projections. USDA projected this year's U.S. corn yield at 181 bushels per acre in its February Ag Outlook Forum. The soybean yield was projected at 52 bushels per acre. Both of those numbers, of course, course, would be records if confirmed. USDA will likely start with these same yield numbers on Friday.
As far as the United States is concerned, I find it hard to believe you're going to see anything bullish here. On the old crop balance sheets for the United States, you may see some demand adjustments. They could be to the downside in soybeans, corn, and wheat. I feel like they're probably accurate. When it comes to the new crop balance sheets, USDA will use the acres that were projected in the March report. They're going to start with trendline yields, and they're going to spit you out some ugly-looking carryout estimates. This stuff isn't real. It's all smoke and mirrors. USDA doesn't know what the yields are going to be. They don't know what the demand's going to be, but they've got to start somewhere, and this is the way that they do it. So it's going to have a bearish tone as it relates to the United States. If you're going to see something friendly out of the report, it may be the South American production numbers. Traders expect cuts across the board. Brazil, Argentina, corn, soybeans, all four of those crops. We're looking for cuts. How aggressive are they going to get with the cuts? I don't know. USDA has been very slow to move on this stuff. There's this huge USDA versus CONAB debate and USDA versus the Argentina entities. That debate also has been going on. I don't know what they're going to do. They should come down by how much. I don't know. If you're going to see something friendly, it's going to be there.
China has approved gene-edited disease-resistant wheat. The approval comes as China is slowly moving towards genetically modified commercial food crops. Over the last year, China has increased its approval of GM corn and soybean seeds in hopes of obtaining greater food security. Consumers, however, are concerned about the safety of such crops and their impact on ecology. Currently, China grows non-GM crops for food consumption and imports GM crops for animal feed. Higher-yielding GM crops would allow China to boost domestic production and reduce its grain imports.
I guess this is slightly different. It's GMO, but it's not GMO. The Reuters piece said this: unlike genetic modification, which introduces foreign genes into a plant, gene editing alters existing genes to change or improve its performance and is viewed by some scientists as less risky than genetically modifying them. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other, whatever. We don't do GMO wheat in the United States. There is no commercially grown GMO wheat in the United States. We do corn, we do soybeans, we do a few other things. China is very much making an effort to become self-sufficient. I think it's going to take a really long time, though. They're doing similar things with corn and soybeans. I don't know that this impacts the markets or pricing or import demand anytime soon.
U.S. ethanol production declined last week. Weekly output of 1 million barrels was down 2.2% on the week and down 1.1% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 24.2 million barrels. The print was down 5.1% compared to the previous week, but up 3.6% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was up 2.1% compared to the previous week and up 2.1% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is down 3% versus the same period last year.
That was not necessarily the best weekly ethanol production number, but there were some big positives here. We saw a big drawdown in ethanol stocks and a big ethanol export number. It was like the second or third highest ethanol export number on record. U.S. ethanol production is on track to meet USDA projections. There had been a point where we were on track to exceed USDA projections. I think right now we probably meet the projection. So overall positive. Is this a needle mover for the market? No, probably not.
The Biden administration has set a specific price ceiling to replenish oil reserves. The ceiling is set at $79.99 per barrel and is the first of its kind. The price limit is higher than the prior unofficial price cap at $79 per barrel and close to current market prices. Back in 2022, the Biden administration depleted a major portion of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when it released 180 million barrels of oil. The release was part of an effort to lower gasoline prices after Russia invaded Ukraine. The administration is planning to purchase 3.3 million barrels of sour oil.
This whole SPR debacle, everything that's happened the last 4 years, is everything that's wrong with politics and policy in America. Crude oil or SPR stocks are the lowest in like 40 years. Okay, let's go back to 2020. In 2020, in March of 2020, President Trump at the time wanted to top off the SPR when crude was $24 per barrel, and he was shut down by Congress. Chuck Schumer said at the time that Democrats were blocking a bailout for big oil. And this was when crude had come down to multi-year lows. It was right after crude traded negative. Trump wants to refill it. Congress says no. I'm not trying to be pro-Republican or anti-Democrat or vice versa. What I'm trying to tell you is this. when there's a good idea, but the other side doesn't like who the idea is coming from, the idea gets shot down. So in this case, I mean, how could you argue that refilling the SPR in 2020 at $24 was a bad idea? That's a good idea, but they didn't like the messenger, so they shot the message. And that's how politics works. And that's what's a problem in this country. This is not a big amount of money. Big picture, you're talking a couple $1 billion when we're doing $1 trillion spending bills, feels like every other day. So it's not a lot of money, big picture, if we spend $2 billion or $3 billion or $6 billion, whatever. That's a drop in the bucket these days. But the way politics work, the two-party system, the way that they just like, they don't want to let the other side have a victory in air quotes because of the optics involved, because it's all political. It's bad, and it's all at our expense as the taxpayers. So get your shit together. It's not going to happen, but you know.
Can hope.
One can dream.
So cattle futures, they were lower yesterday. Feeders were an average of $1.60 lower. Live cattle were an average of $1.18 lower. Box beef was also lower yesterday. Choice end of the day at $296.67. That was down $1.82. And select end of the day at $288.25. That was down $4.09.
Outside markets pretty quiet. U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks off just a little bit. Bonds are down. Crude oil is up 74 cents. In the June WTI, it's 79.73. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you Friday.